Now the epistle that's appointed to be read for the Feast of All Saints Day is taken from the book of the Apocalypse, chapter 7. In those days, behold, I, John, saw another angel ascending from the rising of the sun, having the sign of the living God, and he cried with a loud voice to the four angels, to whom it was given to hurt the earth and the sea, saying, Hurt not the earth, nor the sea, nor the trees, till we sign the servants of our God in their foreheads. And I heard the number of them that were signed, 144,000 were signed. Of every tribe of Israel, of the tribe of Judah, were 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Reuben, were 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Gad, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Aser, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Naphtali, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Manasseh, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Simeon, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Levi, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Issachar, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Zebulun, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Joseph, 12,000 signed. Of the tribe of Benjamin, 12,000 signed. And after this I saw a great multitude which no man could number, of all the nations and tribes and peoples and tongues, standing before the throne in the sight of the Lamb, clothed with white robes, and palms in their hands. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God who sitteth upon the throne, and to the Lamb, and to all, and all the angels stood round about the throne, and the ancients and the four living creatures. And they fell down before the throne upon their faces, and they adored God, saying, Amen, benediction, and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving, honor and power and strength to our God forever and ever. Amen. And the Holy Gospel is taken from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 5. At that time, Jesus, seeing the multitudes, went up into a mountain. And when he was sat down, his disciples came unto him. And opening his mouth, he taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are the meek, for they shall possess the land. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are they that are hungry and thirst after justice, for they shall have their fill. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the clean of heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they that suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And blessed are ye when they shall revile you and persecute you, and speak all that is evil untruly against you, for my sake. Be glad and rejoice, for your reward is very great in heaven. Thus far the words of today's Holy Gospel. Blessed are they who suffer persecution for justice's sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Words taken from the Gospel of today's Mass, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends, over 11 million Christians were martyred during the Roman persecution. And among this glorious rank of so many saints, there stands out for his courage and his heroic love for God, Saint Sebastian, as even one of the chief of these martyrs. He exhibited a most perfect courage and perseverance, and he is revered and respected even to this day. And even in his own day as well, though, he was given a great title of respect as a leader of many Roman soldiers. At an early age, he had gained a great dignity and was made the commander of a cohort. That means he was in charge of between 300 and 600 men. And this just wasn't simply any cohort in the Roman army. He was made the commander of the first cohort of the Praetorian Guard. That means it was his responsibility to make sure that there was peace and protection for all of Rome, but most especially, he was in charge of protecting the emperor himself. His position at this very early age, then, would be similar to what we would see today as the head of the Secret Service. And he fulfilled his duties very well for Diocletian. At the same time, though, he used his power and influence to protect, to free, and to comfort many of his fellow Christians who were suffering persecution. When Diocletian became aware of Sebastian's Christianity himself, the emperor seemingly forgot all that this noble soldier had done for him. He upbraided Saint Sebastian for being ungrateful to the gods and to the emperor. And Saint Sebastian calmly replied, "I have always prayed to the true God in heaven, for the emperor and for the Roman Empire." Outraged and blinded by this, Diocletian had Sebastian taken out, tied to a tree, and shot with arrows. Now we can learn just what a robust, strong, and courageous man he must have been, for he somehow lived through this ordeal. In fact, the Acts of the Saints tells us that Saint Sebastian's body bristled with arrows like a hedgehog, and yet he endured. When a holy woman named Irene came to carry him away and she thought make his body ready for burial, she noticed that he was still alive, and she nursed him back to health, and it was her hope and the hope of many Christians that he would retire into northern Italy and save himself from Diocletian and persecution. But Saint Sebastian loved God, and he loved his fellow men too much to think of himself. Most of all, he loved his beloved old friend Diocletian, whom he had done so much to protect. So once again, he tried to make this emperor see his error in attacking the church. Sebastian had not fully recovered his strength when he had some friends set him up in a passageway where he knew Diocletian would be passing. We can only imagine how terrified Diocletian was when he saw Sebastian again, seemingly back from the dead. So it was Sebastian that was the first one to speak when they saw each other. He told the emperor, "The Lord Jesus Christ has brought me back to life so that I might meet you and testify to you that your persecution against his servants is wholly undeserved." Sadly, like Pharaoh of old, though, Diocletian's heart was hardened, and he would not even listen to one come back from the dead. So he ordered Saint Sebastian to be immediately beaten to death. And this time the executioners fulfilled their task. Saint Sebastian died for justice's sake in 286 AD. Now, my dear friends, in the Gospel for today's Mass, our Lord promulgated the eight Beatitudes. These were eight promises or rewards that he made to all of his followers who would practice certain virtues. And in the eight Beatitudes, the pinnacle and the summit of all of the other Beatitudes was when our Lord promised heaven itself for those who would suffer courageously for justice's sake. Now, there's two reasons why this is the most noble of the eight Beatitudes. In the first place, all the other Beatitudes are actions which are to be done, whereas this beatitude refers to trials which will not be accomplished once and have their end, but trials that will last for our whole life. We know from experience that it's far more difficult to suffer hard things than it is to do a difficult thing from time to time. In fact, there's an old adage that says, "To act bravely is the part of a Roman, but to suffer bravely is the part of a Christian." And Saint Sebastian proved himself to be both. He suffered bravely, but he also acted bravely. And so on this Feast of All Saints Day, let us learn from Saint Sebastian and from all the other saints how they were courageous enough to face the persecutions and the trials of their life. And what we learn is that the secret to their success was a total and consuming love for God and his holy will. It was love for God which led all the saints, especially the martyrs, to be courageous and suffer persecution. Whether it was a question of an elderly man in his 90s like Saint Ignatius of Antioch, or a sweet little girl in the flower of her youth, like St. Agnes. All of the martyrs were able to persevere because they loved God above all things. And more than simply persevering, they were able to have true peace in their soul because they loved God and they saw all as His holy will. Throughout their daily lives, they constantly strove to do the will of God in all things. And for us, we must do the same. If persecutions or trials are heating up in our life, especially if we are suffering these things because we are trying to do the will of God, let us make sure to pray for that grace to love God above all things and to courageously persevere in suffering for His sake. If we love God and we keep ourselves free from grave sin, keep ourselves in the state of sanctifying grace, we will have true peace no matter what persecutions we face. If we know that we're in the state of sanctifying grace and that we're suffering for justice's sake, for the love of God and His laws, then we know that whatever happens to us, there is an eternal reward in heaven just waiting for us and for the taking from us. Ask our Lord then, especially during Mass and Holy Communion, to help you to love Him above all things. There is no prayer which is more pleasing to God than when we ask Him for an increase in love for Him. He infinitely loves us. He suffered and died for us and for our salvation. And imagine how happy it makes Him when He hears us ask Him for the grace to love Him in return. Even in our own lives, we know how pleasing it would be to a parent to hear their child say that they wanted to love them more and more. And God is truly our Father, truly our parent. And so this prayer means very much to Him. There is nothing a wholesome parent would not do to help their child to love them more. There is nothing God the Father will not do to help us love Him the more. No matter what happens then, my dear friends, no matter what is on the horizon in your lives, strive to love God above all things and to do His holy will. You know, during the Second World War, England was faced with some grave terrors, not the slightest of which was the nightly bombing raids, which would have been followed by possible starvation and even death. It was at this terrible time that the British coined the phrase, "Keep calm and carry on." Today, that phrase has become very popular. And I bring it up because for us to persevere, we can say as Catholics, "Keep calm and love God." And if we put this into practice, if we keep calm and love God above all things, we can hope to have peace in our lives and ultimately enjoy an eternal reward forever in heaven. May Almighty God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.